tuned to your home for country music and classic rock, KLMJ.
Hi, this is Pam Whipple with First Bank Hampton. Teaching kids about money can start early with NextGen, the kids app that helps children learn how to earn, save, invest, and spend, all under parental guidance. NextGen teaches real-life money skills in a simple, hands-on way, and kids can even get a debit card to learn how to make purchases at the store. It's a great way to build confidence and good money habits for the future. Stop in today and ask us about NextGen at First Bank Hampton. Member FDIC.
At First Bank Hampton, we believe in supporting our communities and our kids. That's why we offer products like the NextGen app. If you've got kids, download it today. This is First Bank Hampton President Tyler Herron, and that support of our communities is also why we're proud to sponsor the Radio on the Go Newsmaker program. Informative, local, and timely information Monday through Friday on 104.9 KLMJ and available at radioonthego.com. With today's Newsmaker interview, here's Mitch Williams.
Today, we are joined by Tony Dean, president of the Terrace Hill Sanitation District. We're going to be talking about here on the north side of Hampton, going through some projects, things like that, to kind of meet a requirement set by the DNR. We all know that you got to be in line with those people at the state level and all that. So, Tony, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us to kind of explain what's been going on.
No problem. Thank you.
Sorry to kind of said north side of Hampton, but just kind of talk about Terrace Hill Sanitation District. When people hear that, where is that? That's the north side of Hampton then, or?
Yes, it is. Forgive me because I'm not used to flat terrain, so north and south, or I'm still learning. But yes, that involves the country club, the Hampton Country Club. We're over by Vanwall off of 65 and 170. And it encompasses three businesses, an apartment complex, Vanwall, and the country club, and 58 homes.
So it's 58 homes, so it's obviously quite a few residents out there. You mentioned some of the businesses as well. So I guess getting to the bigger scope of this, why was a third lagoon needed as a result of all this?
Well, this started before 2019. We have to test the lagoon every month. Those tests go to figure out what the levels of E. coli and nitrogen and anything harmful that would go into the river. Twice a year, the lagoon is dumped into the river. I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with all the rivers. I think it's the Cedar Creek.
All right. The discussions, I already mentioned you had to kind of follow stuff with the DNR and all
Absolutely.
That. What was kind of like that with the DNR? Because like I said at the beginning, you kind of want to be in line when the state is requiring something, things like that here, Tony. So what were those discussions like?
Yes, we started looking in. The board started to see what options we had. And the one that the board before myself picked was to research connecting to the city. The first meeting I attended, that was the only proposal. It was proposed that they had looked at another couple options, but they thought the city was the best option. Unfortunately, the residents didn't think so. They didn't want to connect to the city. Our previous president moved out of the area, and I volunteered. So I started looking into the other couple options. One was our own sewer processing plant. I proposed that to the DNR. They didn't think it would be reliable enough, so that option became no longer available. Then the last option was to restructure our current lagoon into a three-cell lagoon, which gives it more time to clean the water. It puts it in three different stages. So the first stage is where everything essentially gets dumped the first, then it dumps to a second stage, which is even cleaner, and then at the third stage is the one that would release into the creek. By that time, it should be way under the required levels.
So you kind of talked about the DNR you obviously been in communication with, but been working with attorneys, you know, statewide probably too with the DNR,
yes.
Countywide. I mean, how many different entities have you been working
with? Well, we have a financial advisor that works with us so that we can ensure we can get a loan and pay it back. I work with our lawyers who also do all the legal paperwork, all the notices that have to be, and just guide us in that direction. Also, I work with the State Revolving Loan Agency. We do have a current loan, and the first one was before I came, and that was for all the engineering work it took to propose connecting to the city. When the residents turned that one down, we had to go back and get a new contract and a second loan to redo the engineering, to redo the cell. That's taken about, well, we're in 2026, and that started in 2023. So it's taken that long to get to this point.
Again, we're joined by Tony Dean, president of the Terrace Hill Sanitation District, talking about this lagoon project that's been in the work for some time. And actually, you said this kind of first came about over 7 years ago. I think you said 2019 or before, but we were talking off air. When did you kind of spearhead this, start taking this over here, Tony? You said about 4 or 5 years ago?
I took over in 2021. I believe it was in December. It was a very busy time in my life, but I wanted to get involved.
I think you already mentioned this too, Tony. At one time, the plan was to pump the sewage to the Hampton Wastewater Plant, but the residents at Terrace Hill overwhelmingly kind of voted that down, you said. So you brought up that could have been a plant. That was not an option, so now it's a lagoon. And I guess as relates to that, where will this additional sewage lagoon be located as relates to maybe the golf course and, like, where is that kind of located?
If you walk through the golf course, it is on the other side of the golf course. There is the creek on one side and then farmlands on the other side. Originally, when the project started, we thought we were going to have to purchase more land. After we dug into it, we found out we already owned more land, so we didn't have to purchase it. So we had the land. All we had to do was clear it, and that's when the design process started because we knew what we had.
It's always nice to know when you got more land they didn't know about, huh? Because land right now is not cheap like most things.
No, it was going to cost $50,000 for 2 acres.
Wow.
Yes.
So I think you kind of hinted on this, right? All the cost involved of, you know, there was that third spot. You already had the land, but the cost of actually getting that to be a third lagoon, maybe not detail by detail, but kind of a generic overview of kind of what the cost involved from start to what the end product will look like here, Tony.
Well, once we are finished with the design plan, we now have to go out for the loan. We had to pick a contractor. We sent out requests for bids. We looked at all the bids. We ended up with the lowest bidder. It's a nice number. However, there's still added costs for that. So we still have an outstanding loan that will get rolled into the construction loan. We're basing our projected final number $3,118,000. I don't believe it'll be that high. That's my opinion. I will have to wait and see what the numbers look like.
Yeah, these are just estimates, we should say, because there's probably still a lot of figuring to do between when you start a project, when you end. There's a lot of change orders and the like when that all gets involved. But I don't know if you touched on this as it relates to grants and stuff.
Applied for grants for the last 3 years. Every year since I took over, I applied for a grant. I applied again this year. I believe one of the reasons we didn't get the last two that we applied for was because we were not close enough in the process. We didn't have close enough dollar numbers where we have better dollar numbers now, and we're ready to move forward with construction. I think we have a much better chance, and if we get it, it'll be about $500,000.
So you said there's 58 homes, about 58 homes in that area. I guess what will kind of be the impact of the residents living there and their what they will see, probably an increase in monthly rates as well?
Unfortunately, our original estimate from our financial advisor is, in my opinion, high. I think in every opinion it's going to be extremely high, but it's something that will be reviewed every single year. If we have more numbers that we can get that number down, we for sure are going to do so because I don't want to pay it either. Nobody does. But we don't have a choice. If we want to live in our home, we need a sewer.
All right, so this area is now within city limits, but there really was no other options for homeowners because you mentioned you wanted to go into the city sewer system. Also, you wanted to maybe go with a plant. That didn't work. So this is basically your third option. This is about the only option that was left for the homeowners.
I want to note that going to the city wasn't going to change the numbers.
No.
We still had to pay for it. It was still going to be around the same number, not much cheaper. The only difference as far as the residents were felt was the rates after the loan was paid out was going to be 3 or 4 times higher than what we'll be paying once our loan is paid out with our lagoon. And that was one of the major reasons. And I don't know, I didn't talk to the city, so I don't know if what I was told was real, but some of the residents that know that city people said that they were having trouble with their system, which means that their homeowners were going to have to pay to have their system fixed. So that were the reasons I was giving for people not wanting to go to the city.
And then finally, construction as it relates to that, who's going to be doing this work? And have we stated where we are in the process? You have the land and all that, so who is doing the construction and where are we at in terms of timeline? Have we started?
Well, McClure Engineering has been doing all of the engineering. I don't have it with me, but we have selected a construction company. We did let the contract, not officially for them to start, but they know they've got the contract.
Okay.
We have at least 2 board meetings left. We will be having a public notification for anybody that wants any more information or has any questions. It will be published, and I will also send out a written letter of it. So if people don't get the newspaper, they'll know it's going to be happening. I don't have a date yet. I have to coordinate it with the lawyers and the newspaper. And I suspect it will be sometime in the middle of next month.
Okay, so coming up soon. And I guess this is interesting relating to other communities around here. Do you know of any sort of town or city, maybe somewhat the size of Hampton, that's had a issue like this where they are technically kind of in town, but they have their own sanitary district and are having issues like this? Or is this something kind of more rare and not seen around here, Tony?
Beads Lake.
Oh, okay.
All of the homes around Beads Lake had the same issue.
Okay.
So we're not the only ones.
Again, we're joined by Tony Dean, president of the Terrace Hill Sanitation District, and talking about that third lagoon project. Again, they're hoping to get started with construction here in the next month or so. And she kind of talked about the reasons behind it. They looked at other options, including a plant, going to the city's sewer system as well. So it wasn't like they went to this right away. It will have an impact on the homeowners, as she said, in terms of sewer rates. But Tony, anything else you'd like to add? I know we covered a lot already, but anything else you'd like to add?
Well, no. As far as having to do this, this is obviously the EPA and the DNR who they have to report to. And if we didn't do this, we would be looking at fines every year. We already had to pay because the process wasn't happening fast enough. We had to pay $1,000. If it continued, we could have to pay up to $10,000.
Oh.
Yes. So this is the reason.
And that's a very good reason, I guess. So, well, Tony, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate the transparency. And hopefully this maybe informs someone down the road as well.
I hope so. Yes, I hope so. Thank you so much.
Our thanks to Tony Dean for joining us on today's Newsmaker program.
Thank you, Mitch. At First Bank Hampton, we're proud of our strong tradition in supporting Hampton, Franklin County, and surrounding communities. Between offering products like the NextGen app to help our kids learn about money, to sponsoring local informative content like the Newsmaker program, First Bank Hampton will always remain invested in your interests. To hear today's interview in its entirety, listen on demand at radioonthego.com or in the Radio On The Go mobile and TV apps. Newsmaker is a local news program presented by your friends at First Bank Hampton.
Hi, this is Carly Bowman with First Bank Hampton. Did you know you can add your First Bank Hampton debit card to your mobile wallet? It's a safe, easy, and convenient way to pay with your phone or wearable device wherever contactless payments are accepted. Your card number is not shared with merchants, helping keep your information protected. Don't bank with us yet? Stop in today and ask how you can get started with a First Bank Hampton debit card and mobile wallet. First Bank Hampton is a member FDIC.